Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. You can bring up anything you want. We're kicking off the third hour. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you here tonight is Ian,
Jay,
and Joa.
We're giving you a brief recap of today's, well, kind of fun hearing. It was the worst day of the 4 days for Footloose, a friend of the show who has been on trial for a completely victimless act of sitting quietly at an executive council meeting, which is normally a really boring occasion. But in this particular meeting, there were 9 people that were arrested. They're called the New Hampshire Nine. Footloose, a.k.a. Frank Staples, he was the first of two. There were two people that were arrested at the same time. He was one of those two people on this particular day. His trial is separate from the other 7 of the 9. One had her charges dropped, so the remaining 7 all have the same attorneys. Frank wants to represent himself. He's gone pro se, and that means that it's a lot more fun to watch than the attorney's version of this trial, which I don't even think has started yet. I don't know when that one is scheduled to move forward. So, Frank, for those that don't know, if you go to freekeen.com, you search for Footloose, you'll be able to find a bunch of other trials that he's been to. You've also got the first 3 days of his trial on your channel, Breaking the Flaw. If you look up either of our channels, are on both Odyssey and...
Yeah, but my Odyssey is out of sync, so I've been trying to fix it.
My Odyssey is actually, the Free Keen Odyssey is up to date. In fact, it's got videos that the YouTube one doesn't have, because YouTube, I only put teasers up for the last couple of years. Anyway, look for Footloose, because he's really entertaining. He does not care what the government goons think about him. He's not afraid to speak his mind to power, and he's got a great excuse because apparently he's had some kind of head trauma that he says makes it so he gets really loud a lot of the time without really thinking that without being aware that he's getting loud, and he uses profanity a lot of the time without being necessarily aware of that either. And so it's really entertaining to watch somebody curse at a judge in a courtroom and get away with it. So today
been the same judge every day of his trial.
Of the trial, yes, but pre-trial it was a different judge for most of the pre-trial. Yeah, the arraignment and the various. There was like at least 2 or 3 different pre-trial conferences that they've. I've been at every one of them, so all those videos are over at Free Keen. And the highlight, I think, today, and I'll have to ask you what you think your highlight was, having been there, Joe, but for me, the highlight today was the judge swore Frank in again. So he had taken the stand at the end of the last day, which was like 3 weeks ago at this point. And then today he got sworn in again. And then you get the usual, you know, raise your right hand and do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Frank looks at the judge and he goes, F around and find out, except he didn't censor himself like I'm doing for the radio. And then he says, yeah, F around and find out. That's my affirmative answer.
Then the judge goes, is that a yes?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like, you just don't see that anywhere else. No, almost no one will handle themselves that way in a court and get away with it. That's the most important thing. But what was your big takeaway? Was there a particular moment today that stuck out in your mind?
I mean, the fact that, like, Footloose, it was a little monotonous to sit there.
There was a lot of video. The reason I said it was the worst day was because it was video playing day, and so a lot of it was, like, Footloose trying to find the right spot in a video.
I think that was the problem with, like, why the judge didn't allow him to show more footage is because he kind of made a drawn out with all the footage that wasn't showing anything.
He didn't know
anything.
Where he was at one point in the footage. And there was a lot of somebody assisting him, and it didn't help that much.
Well, here's the thing, is that the prosecutors used footage that was clipped up,
mm-hmm.
whereas he was using original footage. So the timestamps weren't right. when he was using his footage.
Yeah, and I think he had timestamps for a different piece of footage, like the complete unedited one. But the footage he was using had some cuts in it because it was a lady that was live streaming. So she would stop streaming at certain points and then start again, which if you're going off the original video's time frame, then you're going to be off.
Sure.
So there's some issues with that. And plus the video was hard to hear, you know, in the courtroom. It was like coming out of a speaker that didn't seem to really be able to handle what it was. And of course, somebody's recording on a cell phone. You can't really hear things very well. So the audio was an issue today, but there were still some really entertaining things that came up.
I mean, I reminded those prosecutors that Nuremberg trials 2.0 are coming, and we're not going to be as lenient as we were with the Nazis.
Well, this one of these prosecutors almost ran you down in the parking lot a few years ago.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got a personal issue with
I don't think he
guys.
Really was trying to run me over, but he was trying to intimidate me with the deadly weapon.
Mm-hmm.
I have yet to really come across a prosecutor that I would say is actually a decent human being.
Yeah.
There was one guy I met in a Palmer District Court years ago, and he was pretty all right. Jim Forsythe was his name, and he was the kind of guy, he's like, oh, but just tell me, Jay, because I want to know what I'm dismissing today. He says to me, well, you know, I had a lot of action in that courtroom over the years, and he was in there for a little while, and then... And then I had seen him somewhere at some, I don't know, some restaurant or something. He's like, yeah, I went into private practice. He says, that government work just, I had a hard time sleeping at night, and he said they wanted me to do. And he goes,
good for him.
Yeah. So he's like the only guy, but most of these guys are just like, I don't know, they're like the, with my wife's case where we were at a little while ago. Or a couple weeks ago, we went to the arraignment there, and that prosecutor comes up, and you know, he says, "Oh yeah, plead guilty, pay $500, take some parenting classes," and and that guy there, he just like
for allegedly leaving the kid strapped in a car for 15 minutes while she went shopping,
right? And yeah, climate
you got to take 10 parenting classes,
right? Yeah, and
abandon your kid to take those classes, by the way,
right. And you'd have to probably pay for them too, right? So
oh, yeah,
$500
like
plus,
they're like $150 a whack, you know, and
damn.
So looking into this like DCYF stuff where they have like assisted visitation and all this stuff, I mean, it's just the prosecution is definitely working with these, you know, these firms that put on these classes and do these things. It's all a racket.
So
the whole thing's a racket. But all these guys do every day is they're constantly prosecuting people who have never hurt anybody. There's no victim. There's no injury crime.
Yeah.
There's no injury. There's no crime. And you just talk, I mean, that guy, he was probably one of the most unhealthy people in the room, you know, the particular prosecutor we were talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And what needs to happen is we need to start going after these guys for malicious prosecution. There's a thing called the bar grievance, which is actually something that we're gonna dive into because all
trying to get them disbarred from the
well, at least make them give them a ding on their rating with the bar association, and the bar association is totally crooked and corrupt,
sure.
And it's
a monopoly.
Yeah, I call it the British Agricultural Revolution, where the lawyers are the farmers and the people are the livestock.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what's been going on as far as I'm concerned.
Well,
but
it's funny because I filed a complaint once against a lawyer.
With the bar?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it stuck. And yeah.
Was it a bar grievance? Is that what it was called?
It was a grievance, yeah.
Yep.
And basically, they wouldn't give me the original paperwork to my case. They gave me a copy, and I was like, no, I want the original paperwork. And they're like, do something about it. I'm like, I will.
Okay. They say bar grievances are very powerful, and a lot of people who have used bar grievances, they basically the prosecutor is like, you know, dismissing the case the next time, or is a different prosecutor. Mm-hmm. But I guess the bar grievance is pretty powerful. And the thing is, they are so used to low hanging fruit. Like for example, in our case with the childhood. Endangerment. We're looking up all these cases at what the childhood endangerment has to deal with, and it basically has to do with children that were hurt, had injuries, and then there's also people who, you know, they left the kid in the car and they for a little bit, and the kid was safe, nothing happened, it wasn't like extremely hot weather or anything, and they agree with DCYF, they jump through all of DCYF's hoops and DCYF's like, oh yeah, yeah, everything's cool, yeah, you're good. And then they still get charged with the same charge, and then they pay like $6,000 or $7,000 or $10,000 to a lawyer, and then they end up pleading to a little lower charge, and you know,
which they could have got without hiring a lawyer,
right? And then taking the parenting classes, you know, having to do the parenting classes, and but most lawyers don't really care about your rights; they just want to
make
put
money
in their pocket and just you know help you plea bargain. That's basically you know what
Nick that's what a lawyer is today. For the most part. For the most part. There are exceptions of the few lawyers that actually do want to go to trial.
But almost every prosecutor that is actively being a prosecutor is basically an evil, diabolical...
slime. Absolute slime.
Parasite.
I wish I could find a lawyer that would actually take things to trial.
Like, it's a lot of work
for them to do.
They do exist. They are hard to find, though. Let's continue here. Dodgers in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Dodger.
Hold on.
Okay.
Taking you off speaker. So, happy 420, everybody.
Indeed, sir.
Actually, I've been listening for about 12 and a half seconds. My brother and I are sitting here, celebrating 420. And we were actually curious on that note. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The Sublime song, Smoke Two Joints.
I'm pretty sure that's a remake of, was it Bob Marley originally on that one?
I have no idea.
I think it's a remake. Anyway, what about it, Dodger?
Yeah, it probably was. So we were trying to calculate the number of joints that guy would have smoked in a given day, considering he smokes two joints in the morning, he smokes two joints at night, and then in the afternoon, and then
this does sound like something that stoners would be trying to calculate.
I lost count.
So, at either rate, actually, on extremely unrelated note.
Okay, I got to correct. Before you go on with the unrelated note, I got to correct this here. Even though Marley apparently did sing the song, it was originally created by The Toys, who provided it, spelled T-O-Y-E-S, who performed it in a traditional reggae style in 1983. So, anyway, just to make sure credit is given to the original creators of that. Anyway, go ahead, Dodger.
That's awesome. I think I've only heard the Sublime version of that, so I'll check that out. At either rate, Michigan is being a little sneaky right now with speed cameras, and they're trying to sneak their little toes into Michigan has been a state that has not had any red light cameras or speed cameras. Mm-hmm. It's just not something that happens here, and it just seems like the bureaucrats the higher ups are trying to sneak their way into getting speed cameras, and they're using it in the name of traffic or construction zones.
So you're saying these are just cameras that are ostensibly to monitor traffic, to monitor construction, but they're actually secretly issuing tickets to people? Or do you believe that eventually they will issue tickets?
No, that's the whole thing, is that they're putting their essentially foot in the door. By saying, you know, the road construction workers, we need to put these speed recording devices, cameras, and the first time you get a warning, the second time you get a ticket. But the whole thing is, you know, we haven't had any speed cameras here in Michigan or anything like that. And as soon as they start doing that, you know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, well, that is the way government works. I mean, there's a government program. It gets bigger. It gets more expensive. It gets more intrusive. So I would say it's a fairly safe prediction to say that the construction cameras could be repurposed for that. Thank you, Dodger, for the call.
So, Dodger, I had a red light cam ticket and a speeding ticket from one of those machines.
Where was that?
out of Providence,
okay,
Rhode Island. Yep, and I beat both of them. And I'll tell you how I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
these are automated, right? Completely automated.
Yeah, and you can challenge them. You go into court and you go to what's his name, Caprio, caught in Providence. You know that YouTube channel they have.
I've never heard.
He's sometimes on TV too. Anyways. The way to beat this is you just ask, they tell you what day to go on, and you find out what day of the week it is, and that's the typical day of the week that the red light cam representative comes down,
mm-hmm.
and so you just ask for a different day of the week. She's like, oh, I can't make it on that day.
Really?
That worked for me, yeah.
Wow, and two separate occasions this worked?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, how did you figure that one out?
No, they were actually lumped together, so.
How did you figure out that was a good approach?
I just couldn't make it that day.
Okay, so just by chance. By yeah. chance, okay.
So I started telling everyone, and it was working. So it worked for somebody else that I told it to.
Nice. That's a pretty good idea. I wonder how many people are actually there to challenge these things. I mean, what percentage of people who get these tickets actually challenge them?
To be honest, a lot of the people that are challenging these tickets is because they were outstanding or circumstances where they don't live at that address anymore, or it wasn't me driving the car. These are the types of scenarios where people go and challenge it.
Right.
Or just people who want to be on TV.
Because it's on, it's
and they'll dress broadcast. Their kid up, they'll doll their kid up and stuff, and next thing you know, their kid is sitting on the judge's lap.
What?
Just watch it, man.
This is not Santa Claus.
Caught in Providence. It's creepy. It's creepy.
That is creepy.
It's weird. And the judge goes, so what should we do? Is your mom guilty?
Whoa.
And should we charge her a fine? And the kid goes, sometimes the kid goes, yeah, she's guilty.
Like, oh, wow. Is this thing still going? This
I think
television
so.
Show?
I think so. I'm not sure.
Is it just a straight up live stream, or do they actually edit the thing?
They edit
the TV show,
and they got like the court bailiffs or whatever you call them. They make their comments. They're just so cheesy,
dumb.
And like the judge's brother is actually the one directing this whole thing.
And this is a real courtroom. This isn't like Judge Judy.
It's a real courtroom. Like, it's right in the Providence Police Station.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's wild. Let's continue here. We got this caller. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Hi, it's Mike.
Mike, you're on the air.
Hey, I heard you talking about DCF. I wanted to tell you like a short story.
Sure.
DCF does pre-crime here in Connecticut.
Ooh.
And they call it predictive neglect. So it's when, you know, like they say, the department determines that there's no abuse currently, but there's going to be some abuse in the future.
Oh my.
And I actually lost my daughter for 3 days because of this. They just stole her right out of the hospital. And luckily a judge gave her back, but then they filed a petition and they beat me over the head for the next 9 months.
How many times did they lie in the petition that they filed against you?
Well, the funny thing about the petition is they talked about my wife was suicidal when she was 14, and she literally was like 30-something when she had the baby. And nothing in the petition mentioned me besides the fact that I told them I don't talk to government agents.
Hmm.
When we got her back 3 days later, she had like a rash and she had a dirty diaper and more abused with them than us.
Wow.
How old was she when they took her?
Oh, she was a newborn. She was a couple days old.
So she went a few days without, you know, a mom's contact and the breastfeeding and the colostrum and most important.
So hold on. Let's go back a little further here, Mike. Why did they steal this baby from a hospital? Like what? I mean, you wouldn't think normally DCF is going to get a report for a newborn, right? Like, normally they get reports from busybody neighbors or family members who don't like you or ex-girlfriends or whatever,
right? They try to snatch newborns all the time. I've heard so many stories where they're just literally trying to grab kids out of the hospital where they do it.
But was it somebody in the hospital that called them on you? Or do you have any idea?
Somebody in the hospital. Okay, A, we refused vaccines. And B, I didn't even want a social security number, and they thought that was odd.
Yeah, I did that too. So I basically, we refused all vaccines. I told them I wasn't, didn't need any of their government identification. I actually have a pretty good video of this too. I explained to them that, you know, the government is irresponsible with data, and I don't want any of my biological data in any government of my daughter's biological data in any government database. They actually called security on us.
They were lurking outside our room all night long. I thought it was, I got like really weirded out.
Wow.
And, cause they knew, they already planned it. And they told me we were supposed to leave that day. They told me to get the baby carrier out of the car. And then when I went to do that, they wouldn't let me back into the hospital. And they were already upstairs snatching her. And then the agent came down and literally threw the petition at me. It was an order of temporary custody. She just threw it at me.
Disgusting.
Because she was pissed because I went and talked to her the day before. So,
wow, that's crazy. Were you successful in prohibiting your daughter from having a social security number?
I wasn't because...
What?
Yeah, so they forced you to fill out a social security account number application?
I was more worried that I didn't want to look like I was doing something. I didn't want them to have anything on me.
So they coerced you.
I already had my wife was mentally, she had mental problems in the past. And, but luckily I found an attorney that was successful at beating DCF, and I never let them in my house. I never had to do any of that. So, and we won the case, basically. They dropped it after.
So did you sue them for damages? Because it sounds like you guys were all, the infant was definitely damaged. Your family was damaged.
Plus you had to pay for the attorney. What'd that cost?
Luckily he was a Mormon, so he was like really nice guy. Like, not that Mormons are nice, but he was. He cost like $3,000.
Okay.
But, I had to pay for psychiatrists. Because we found the psychiatrist that hates DCS and DC that hates him, and he testified for us. And
Of dollars. You sunk thousands of dollars into this before you were able to finally wipe this thing away.
I did. And you know what? I was living in a camper at the time in front of my business, and I was worried about that. So we moved into my parents' house. We had them come into the house all the time. They appointed the child an attorney. He came in, everything was fine. But when he found out we wouldn't let DCS in the house, he turned on us. And he actually lied in court and said that her clothes were dirty. And he was just lying because he didn't see her.
Look into doing a bar grievance against this attorney for their lies. In my case...
This was 13 years ago.
Okay.
And you mentioned lawsuit. I did sue them... Personally, I sued them personally myself.
DCF?
And it was the agent.
Individuals.
And it was, I dropped it eventually because I was just busy with work. I couldn't.
Damn.
But it was the funnest thing in the world to do is to sue them because they really don't, they think they're untouchable. I served them at their house.
That must have been fun. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling and sharing that terrible story. I definitely appreciate hearing from you here tonight. We got more coming up. You can join us. Joa attempted to simply file his own complaint recently in City Hall in Manchester, New Hampshire, and we'll find out how that went. You can join the show as well. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us and bring up whatever is on your mind here on Free Talk Live. We got more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
USA News Update. The White House says House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's debt limit proposal would be a disaster.
Speaker McCarthy unveiled his plan to cut benefits for American veterans and take a 2x4 to America's manufacturing resurgence.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters Republicans plan cuts benefits to veterans in their own states. McCarthy rolled out a bill to lift the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion that contains a number of spending cuts as well. As U.S. officials prepare a possible evacuation of the U.S. Embassy in Sudan, East Africa, we're learning the Russian Wagner mercenary group may be supplying weapons to the Sudanese paramilitary forces fighting on one side of the conflict. CNN reports the group is supplying Sudanese rapid support forces with missiles. There's also reportedly evidence of Russian mercenaries stirring in Libya. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
You can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian J. and Joe are here tonight. Join us online anytime you want over at freetalklive.com. We have our AMPS program and want to thank Libertariat, who is a diamond level supporter of AMPS. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here on Free Talk Live. If you appreciate our mission of spreading the ideas of liberty and peace and cryptocurrency, alternatives to the violent statist status quo here, we do that 7 nights a week. And you can support us, as Libertarian has done. And now he's done like 10 times what we ask. He's doing, I think, $50 a month, if I recall correctly. But we only ask for $5. So if you can afford $5 a month, you want to help us over at amps.freetalklive.com. We sure would appreciate it. That's amps.freetalklive.com. You can sign up with your debit card, your credit card, your PayPal account. Or if you don't want to support Patreon, because it's a Patreon, so obviously they take a small cut. If you want to donate in a different way, check out our Odyssey channel, where you can sign up directly through Odyssey using your debit card or your credit card. Just go to video.freetalklive.com. That'll take you right to our Odyssey channel, and I believe you can click the join link right up there at the top of the page. We're going to get into your story here, Joa, because you are a First Amendment auditor. You are kind of known for going around to different government bureaucracies, toting the most dangerous weapon known to governments, which is a video camera.
Yeah.
In this case, it's your phone, usually like on a gimbal or something like that. And you go in there, and a lot of times you just kind of check things out. You go into places the public is supposed to be allowed to go. You walk in, you record, you might ask some questions, you walk out. And if you're unmolested, it's pretty boring footage.
That's right. So if they're kind and nice, it's fun to know that the public officials are kind and nice.
Yeah.
That's it. Done.
But if they get nasty, then things get interesting.
I get views.
Yes, you do.
And I'm not looking for views. I'm looking for my channel to die.
Yeah, except it's not even close to that because these bureaucrats never learn, do they?
No, they don't.
So what's the most recent? You're telling me during the break about this. This video isn't even up yet. So you're kind of giving us a teaser on this. It's coming soon.
Yes. Okay. I need to edit it up a little bit only because of time-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to fast forward some spots.
Yeah. But boring spots.
Let me go into detail here.
Yeah. So what happened?
So I basically wanted to complain to the human resources of Manchester City Hall, human resources. I wanted to tell them how a couple of their DPW workers, and it wasn't hard to figure this out, wasn't hard to find, let's put it that way, and just a little bit of effort, people in your city, you can figure this out pretty quick, that these public workers are wasting your money.
Wait a minute. Are you saying government bureaucrats are lazy?
Well, yeah. But it's
wasteful, lazy.
It's really, really bad that, you know, where the money's coming from, they stole it from in the first place. Through property tax or whatever, whatnot.
Sure.
And then the next thing you know, they're just, you know, on their phones, not during break. They're on their phones on Facebook, and they're taking second lunches. They're just they're also breaking traffic laws, mm-hmm. not using their blinkers, all these little frivolous things that, like, I saw some guy get pulled over today for having a plate cover. And I was calling the cops out. Like, this is ridiculous. These guys have something better to do, like pull over. Maybe your DPW workers that are driving around with no side view mirrors because they're broken because they probably smashed them because they're idiots, you know. Anyway, so I went to City Hall. I went to the human resources, and they saw the camera. Or this lady, I think her name is Leslin,
mm-hmm.
And they were denying it was her name, but I saw her badge.
She like a secretary or what?
She is a human resources secretary, whatever you want to call it, or the human resources.
Okay, gotcha.
She just ran off into the back. She did come back out. She's like, if you want to talk, you're going to have to put the camera down. I'm like, no, I can't do that. Yeah. No. If you don't like to be on camera, you should try...
Quit your job.
Yeah, try the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But when you work for the public... You have no expectation of this.
On the job, on the record, right?
On the record, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And I just wanted to complain about those two workers, actually three workers, DPW workers.
If you want to file a complaint with a government bureaucracy, you should be able to do that under a video recording. You should be able to have a record of you filing that complaint. This lady wants to protect her people. That's why she wants you to be closing that camera down.
So, you know, they had a bell on the desk. I rang that probably like 20 times. Over 40 minutes. So it wasn't like I was just like, ding, 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 ding. I was like, ding, ding. Wait a few minutes. Ding, ding. So, nothing. I did get this like really like sarcastic guy from upstairs. I don't know what position he held. Something about the city clerk position. He came down. He just being nasty to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just didn't want to deal with me. And that's fine. But where's the due process here? Like, if we're seeing abuse in the city, don't they want to know about it? Like, and then you know what they're telling me?
No, they
I'm wasting
pretend.
Their time.
Oh, yeah,
oh,
of course.
I'm wasting your time?
The time you paid for.
Right.
Yeah.
But it seems like the DPW workers are wasting everybody's time.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't care about that. I'm actually trying to save you guys some time. You know? Maybe you're going to get rid of these employees that are not doing any work. But just, you know, I'm saving you some time here. Saving the city some money. Nope, they don't care about that. So, the next thing that happens is I go upstairs. I'm talking.
You're waiting 40 minutes down there?
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
And they're completely ignoring this desk.
Yes.
There's no one else around.
Well, a couple people came up, but one lady wanted to help from human resources. I'm like, look, if you're going to help me, I need to know who you are. And she's like, mm-hmm. I'm not doing that. And then she's like, I'll give you my name as long as you just write the complaint about me. Because she's not going to take my complaints. Oh, it's just such a headache.
By the way, I don't know if it's true in every state, but in New Hampshire, I believe it's the Eighth Amendment to the New Hampshire Constitution that guarantees open and accountable government. And that means that a government bureaucrat has to identify themselves.
Right to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how shameful for them for not identifying. All right.
And so, there will be no punishment for her either, even though it's a violation of the Constitution.
Probably not. Maybe I'll take that further, but yeah. we'll see.
Who are you going to complain to about human resources?
So
I guess that would be the city council, right?
City
they won't do anything.
Well, I'll get there in a second.
Yeah.
So I went to the city. I went upstairs and I was talking with a security guard. He's actually pretty cool. Talk with him. Then all of a sudden, the city clerk, elected official, mm-hmm. Matthew.
The clerks are elected in Manchester?
City clerk is elected position, yeah.
Really? In Keene, they're appointed by the council?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
He's elected?
Yes.
Okay.
And Hammond, that's his name. Mm-hmm. And I ran into him once before. We'll get there in a second, though. Anyways, he's just walking by, and I'm like, oh, hey, Kevin, right? And he's like, no, F off.
Whoa.
Okay.
You got that on video?
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And then I started following him. I stayed a good distance. I wasn't, like, up in his face. And then he stops. He's like, we're on the sidewalk now. We'll go outside from the city hall. He stops, turns around, gets right in my face, like,
whoa,
4 inches from my face, or from me, right? Like, from you can see it on the camera. Not my face, but 4 inches of me.
From the camera.
It's really intimidating, yeah. Getting it up in me. You know... He actually was asking, what's your complaint? And I'm like, I'm telling you, DPW workers, da-da-da. And he's just like, you're just wasting our time. I'm like, no, that's not the way it is. You know, and I'm like, I'm going to file a complaint against you, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to City Hall tonight. And I did. I went there later on. Right before the City Hall meeting, the elevator doors open up, and lo and behold, it's the chief of police. Oh, by the way, I missed the one point there.
Okay.
When he got up in my face... and he walked by me. He brushed against me on purpose. Like, it was simple mm-hmm. assault. Like, I don't mm-hmm. want you touching me. And I told him to back off and all.
It's hard. The problem when you have a camera is it's really hard to prove that one.
Yeah, you know? It can't see it. But yeah. Actually, I haven't reviewed my body cam yet. So mm-hmm. we're going to look at that.
Mm-hmm.
Which gives a wider angle. I think it's 160 degrees.
But this is what a thug does, by the way. I mean, this is like an intimidation tactic. This isn't what a quote-unquote servant, somebody you hire to do your duty or your business of taking care of the streets.
They don't believe they're public servants.
No, of course not. That's just a line they give.
And the corporation they're working for is not a government. It's a governmental mm-hmm. agency. It's similar to or like government, but it's just a municipal corporation. And they have no duty or allegiance to protect any of our rights.
Nope.
None of those guys have an oath of office.
It's all just a scam.
The Supreme Court ruled that they don't actually have to protect us.
Right.
So I'm at City Hall meeting, the City Council meeting, and I sign up to speak. I wrote my name as Breaking the Flaw.
Ah, okay.
He did his little research before, because he's a city clerk, right? He mm-hmm. announces who's to speak next, and he did his research. And he goes, Joseph Hart. And I go, I actually want to speak for, I signed up on the wrong paper. So they hid the papers for, like, a regular comment.
Mm-hmm.
So I had nothing else to sign up on, and I just like, wrote up on a certain thing that they were talking about, some topic. I didn't want to talk about that. Some housing thing. But then I signed up to speak for... the real thing. And he got, you know, he's trying to get in my skin. And, yeah, he did a little bit. But you know what I did? I instantly went over to the chief. I'm like, hey, I want to press charges against this guy.
This is against the city clerk?
City clerk.
Okay.
Yeah, not about, you know, him getting on my skin, but for the simple assault outside earlier. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, he calls supervisor. He comes, and I was waiting to be called to speak, and they had me in the other room. I missed my name, but I ended up speaking, and I told the whole city about what's going on here and in the misconduct of police and all that stuff. So I made an official complaint about the simple assault.
Are you going to clip that into your video, your testimony in front of the city?
Yeah. I live streamed that.
You should, okay.
That was all live streamed. Most of the complaint process was also live streamed mm-hmm. until I had to minimize it to show him the video of him simple assaulting.
Well, I'm sure the Manchester police chief will take your complaint as seriously as the Goffstown police chief took your complaint about the politician who attacked you,
yeah,
Don
right.
Bolduc.
Yeah, right. Well, he wasn't the one that reviewed that. That was the Goffstown. So,
that's what I'm saying. He'll take it about as seriously, which is to say they're going to throw it away.
Likely.
Yeah.
Is my guess. But I actually had been contacting the chief's secretary for a few weeks now. I finally got in touch with her and to set up a meeting
with
him.
Manchester?
Yes.
Okay.
set up a meeting because I want to talk about the systemic problems of the police in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they love to hear those words.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
And you want to record it.
Yes. Yeah, I want to record the meeting with him.
They don't like that.
And I was talking to the chief outside the elevator there up at City Hall, and he's like, "No, we're not. I'm not going to let you record it. I'm not going to let you let everyone see my reactions about possible misconduct of the officers."
Right.
I'm like, "Why not? Why would you? You don't want to be proud of what your officers do, or not proud?
How come you're not transparent?
Mm-hmm.
What are you covering up?"
He's a coward.
Absolutely.
They all are.
Sure are. I love this, Joe. I really appreciate the work that you're doing, man.
Thank you.
Thank you for getting out there and doing it. So this is video that, as of yet, has not been released. This
well,
is coming.
The video of him getting in my face, yes.
Oh, it has. Oh.
I clipped that out.
Okay.
Just that part.
The one that said F you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the unprovoked F you and the up to the point where he goes back into City Hall and closes the door. So that's online. And I made a short recently of the other encounter I had with him, with Matthew,
mm-hmm.
which was when I open carried at a polling location, and he decided to get right in my face. He's like, "No, we're," I was like, "Get out of my face." He was saying, you need to leave the polling station. I'm like, "I don't have to leave. Why don't you get out of my face? The door said 6 feet, 6 feet." You know, and he's just right up in my face.
Was this the one where Dick Tracy got called?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, that was, yeah. So I reposted a short to remind everyone this isn't the first time he got in my face.
Right.
So he's lucky he didn't get the pepper.
Oh, man. Which you have deployed in recent days.
I have.
On some thugs in the street that were attacking you.
And the cops didn't react properly to that either.
All right.
But we talked about that already, man.
Any other highlights from recent days that people need to know about?
I mean, today I was following a parking enforcer and...
Where? In Concord?
Yep. And so I decided to go get a ticket.
Have it ready. Wanted to get a ticket.
No. I bought a parking ticket.
Oh.
Right?
Okay. You bought the
meter ticket.
A meter ticket, yeah. So I put a quarter in, I got it printed out, and it only had a few minutes on it. It's sort of like, it's the new way of Robin Hooding, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had it on me, and when she's about to write a ticket, I slapped it on the windshield.
Yes.
But wait, it gets better. So unlike the coin meters, and you put the quarter and it's done, right? It's just you put the meter on that machine. Well, as soon as she moves on to the next car,
pick it up.
I picked up the meter ticket and I put it on the next car.
That's awesome.
And know what she did? She grabbed it off the vehicle, crumpled it up, and threw it away.
That's got to be illegal.
She threw it in a trash
can. I think it's 100% illegal what she did.
She threw it in a trash can.
She threw it in the trash can. Yeah. I got it all on live stream.
At least she didn't litter.
Yeah, right? She didn't recycle. She had a choice. She could have recycled it. She threw it in the trash can.
Wow. That's really awesome. You're referring to Robin Hooding, which happened in Keene for many years.
Yes.
And ended up getting international press coverage back in like 2012. I mean, it was a huge story.
Yeah.
Ended up going to court. They sued the Robin Hooders here in Keene, alleging that we deprived them of $30,000 to $50,000 in revenue over the years. Because we had people out there 8 hours a day at one point, like when it was really at its peak, and they were pissed.
Stay tuned. I'll be doing this in Manchester with a ticket again.
But then they put in this system that defeated the Robin Hooders. And they haven't put it in all over the city yet, but it does exist in some spots. And they made it so you have to punch in your license plate number. And then you buy time specific to that plate number. So you don't get the printed ticket like you're talking about. So you can't even do that, what you were describing here in Keene. It's like ironclad.
Well, I don't believe that you actually put your plate number.
Mm-hmm.
So what I think that plate number system is doing, so let's just say you misspelled your plate number,
right.
And next thing you know, they're scanning your plate, and they're like, "Oh, this is not in the system. Ticket."
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I don't think they can do that. I think, you know, displaying it is proper, right?
But I don't think you get a printout.
You do get a printout.
From the ones in Keene?
Yes.
Oh, see, I've been avoiding them, so I don't really even know how they work.
You heard what I did with this, right?
No, I think you might have said, but recap. What'd you
Okay, do? So I've done 3 tickets in Keene where you have to put your license plate number in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one, I did this twice, actually. 2 times I put my license plate as suck my... I could say D, right?
Yeah, easy.
Okay,
yeah.
D,
yeah.
All right. And, yeah, so, and then I put it in the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's proof that I paid, and the time is correct.
See, I didn't realize they were doing printouts. I thought it was just like a database that they just have. And
I think you have a choice to have it printed or not.
Okay, well, if you can print it, then yeah, you could do the same thing they've been doing in Concord.
So I also did, I wrote Fourth Amendment violation, because you had to give up your Fourth Amendment to go park in Keene.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not okay.
Right to privacy, right? Just, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
And then I forget what the last one was. That was like First Amendment or something like that.
All right, well, I'll have to try it some one of these days. I try to avoid them and park at the coin meters, because they still have those in a lot of the city, but just not everywhere. Jay, you've been doing some Man Camp fundraising, and you got a crypto donation recently you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I did. So I'm trying to raise some funds to have Man Camp at Pork Fest.
Yeah, this is
summer.
Where young people, or anyone, I guess, of any age can... learn some activities, some creative things like ironworking.
Forging iron. Well, I would have a forge there, an anvil, maybe two anvils.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we reach a goal, we're going to have at least one forge, two anvils. I'll hire a professional blacksmith to help out some. And we've had six-year-old kids make themselves an iron coat hook out of a piece of basically quarter-inch round stock.
Helps generate some confidence, right?
Yeah, it really helps with confidence. They're very proud of themselves. And so I did get a donation in Dash a few days ago.
The cryptocurrency.
Yeah,
nice.
One Dash, which is about $55 or something right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure it's one of three people I know that made... I think it is, because there's three people that... Over the years now, I've always done transactions in Dash, and people are like, oh, you got... One guy's making a little fun of me the other day. I was saying something about it. He's like, oh, you got some Dash. Oh, yeah.
You got some trash.
Well, here's the thing about Dash.
Dash is great. I like that.
It actually works all the time.
Yep.
The fees are very reasonable.
Very low.
And I've never, ever, 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 ever had a Dash transaction issue. I've had some Bitcoin. I've had a lot of Bitcoin transaction issues.
Oh, yeah.
One or two Bitcoin Cash transaction issues, which were sort of my fault.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely, like, I've had to resync the wallet, cancel with
Bitcoin Cash.
Bitcoin
sometimes,
Core.
Sometimes the blockchain confirmation times can slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that really sucks. If you're waiting on a confirmation and it's 40 minutes,
it's
a long time to wait.
But that was cool. Somebody sent me some Dash. And like I said, Dash always works. And people want to, kind of like call it an S coin or whatever. But it works.
Dash is like one of the originals. I mean, it's been around for a long time.
What I think I know about Dash is that you don't do it with large transactions. Like,
you can.
Like, $200 is probably not a thing you do with Dash.
Like, you totally can.
I always thought it was like low denominations that were sort of inappropriate.
Money.
Yeah, bubblegum money.
Because it's cheap to use, has very inexpensive transaction fees, and works relatively well.
Well, like, Bitcoin used to be that way.
Right.
I mean, there was a time when Bitcoin was fractions of a penny to send. Dash has always been that way.
Right.
So, like, if you want to send $200 worth of Dash, you can do that, and you can send $20 or $2 worth, and it doesn't... The fee is very, very low.
I'm waiting for a privacy coin that's super fast, like Dash or something.
Yeah, Monero is a pretty great privacy coin. It's the fees are a little higher. You might pay a few cents on a Monero transaction. Last I heard, I was looking at some of the average transaction times on some of these things, or the average transaction costs the other day, and you do have to pay a price for privacy, I think, and so that's why those are a little
bit
more expensive.
And I'm okay with that. Actually, I would rather have that privacy instead of the government goons coming down on me or something.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to donate to the Man Camp Fund, I'm trying to generate $5,000 would be my goal.
Mm-hmm.
For Pork Fest 23 here, or 2023, which is the 20th Pork Fest.
It's going to be a big deal.
Yeah. And,
I heard they're sold out already.
Probably.
I don't know if it's true. It's just a rumor I've heard that Pork Fest tickets are only available on the secondary market, meaning that you would have to buy them from someone who already has them.
Cool.
If you want to get in this year. And that's the way it's been the last 2 years, by the way.
Well, that's also marketing for people who know this.
that they've stocked up on tickets early
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Yeah. And that also kind of vets the right people to be there.
That's
if you think
point.
About it. Yeah.
All right, so you're trying to raise $5,000 in crypto or some other thing, right?
I haven't gotten a fiat thing up there yet. I haven't really worked on it too hard. The fiat thing, it's not something I can actually do. I gotta go ask somebody to do it that can do all the know your customer requirements and has a bank account.
Someone that has a social security number.
Can I pay in rail spikes?
Railroad spikes?
Yeah.
Actually, that would be a currency we would use, yeah.
It's a standard. Really?
For blacksmithing, yep.
I would totally use a couple of buckets of railroad spikes, sure.
If there's one piece of iron that's a good shapeable size that is, like, the most of, it would be railroad spikes, right?
Yep. Yeah, it pretty much would, yeah, or nails. But, yeah, railroad spikes are good. But, yeah, you could, to learn more about it, you could go to my website, jnoone.com. That's J-A-Y. NOONE.com.
Let's go to Sarah. She's in New Mexico. Sarah, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Yes. I just want to bring up this. We got this new traffic moving system called the Rest on Red. So
Rest on Red.
Left, I think she said.
No, it's Rest. R-E-S-T. I asked her off the air.
Oh,
Rest. Yeah, Rest on Red. Because I misheard it as well. So, and I've got a story pulled up about it. But what is Rest on Red? What does that mean?
Yeah. I was kind of very intrigued about this. They already implemented it, and they're going to implement it on Lead and Coal, the one-way streets. But what is that? If you do the speed limit, if you're going at 35 like they are supposed to do, the lights will keep turned on green. It'll let you go. The moment you start speeding, it'll make sure that it gets red. It turns, they'll make you stop.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no point.
There's a road I used to travel on all the time, just south of Boston, Route 44 through like Kingston, Mass. area, and it was a two-lane road, and you just had to do 40. If you went like 41, you would get a red light, and you'd have to stop, and I usually had on a trailer. Yeah. And all the time, somebody would just pass me and trip the red light. I hated that.
Oh, man. So, yeah, you're getting punished because somebody else is on the road who's speeding. That's not fair, is it, Sarah?
A lot of times it's a collective. It's a behavior of the collective.
No, that's the behavior of one person. That's one person who's speeding, and everybody else who's on the road gets punished by that person because then the light turns red.
Well, I mean, but it takes from cars demolishing into the apartments and you know, like running into the houses like they've been doing on Lead and Coal. I mean, what else are they going to do?
I don't know if I agree with that. What if the red light catches a person off guard and then they end up barreling through the intersection anyway? And then they go run into somebody else.
Well, this is the whole point. Is that if you're speeding, it'll turn red, so you're going to run it.
How do you know that? How do you know that somebody who is as reckless as to be speeding down the road isn't also just going to blow through a red light?
I used to watch people run to the red lights all the time at the speed, and I would usually come to a stop.
Hey, Boston's like that. Boston's the worst for, like, having to stop at every damn light, and everybody's running through the red lights.
Check out Joe's channel. It's Breaking the Flaw, and also Jay Noone at jnoone.com. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, freetalklive.com.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer, can communicate information, and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.